This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome to Shivka Balaylo. Bofe Shivka means the ongoing crying. Bofe Shivka continues on and on. So for sure that we wouldn't be here doing this again. The crying continues. And the Nat Yitzhak for the time of Bayov Berina, where there will be joy that's everlasting. Will there be simcha that will never end? And Bofe Shivka Balaylo, everybody knows that night began, that first night, so many years ago. The night of Atisa Kol Ha'eda. Vayitnu is Kailam, Vayivku Alam Balai Lahahu. That night when the nation was crying, when our people, our ancestors were crying in the Midbar. And in a way similar to how it was phrased by Elie Wiesel at the beginning of night. But that night, it's been one long night. The night has been going on for so many thousands of years, for such a long time. The Bokhe Sivka Balayla. Eicha Yoshua Bodol Ha'ir Abos Yom Ha'isaka Almana. Everybody here knows Almanas. Lo Alayna. You know, with an Almana, with a widow, her husband left the world, and at some point, the children grow up. They move on with their own lives. The boys get married, the girls get married, they're busy with their own families. Of course, they visit and they call. But at the end of the day, the night, the Almana is by herself. The kids are busy with their own families, their own lives. And the Almana lives through those long nights. That continuous ongoing night from the time that her husband left the world. We're going to say tonight in the Kina, the third Kina, we're going to say the words Bilel Ze Yivkoyum Yalilu Bona. Bilel Ze on this night, because tonight is a continuation of that first night. And the Mekainen says Bilel Ze Yivkoyum Yalilu Bona. And on this night, my children are crying and they're wailing. Yivkayun v'yelilu bana. Then again, afterwards, towards the end, Lel zet yalel mar aniya nechdelitz. The wailing of the widow who's so weak, and she's so broken and bitter from the years of crime. And the word Laila itself, the word Laila, is the same word as yellow, as wailing and crying, weeping. The night is a time of crime. Not only the Almana who feels so alone, but any person who's going through difficulties, the night is the hardest time. in this entire world. Chazal tell us from the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yoshis, Laila, Toshis, Laila, Choshuk, Vihi, Laila, the Oilam Hazeh, this whole world. Life in this world is compared to the night. And the Laila of this world is filled with Yilalos. During the day, everybody gets busy. And it's possible, it's hard, but it's possible during the day to be distracted. But at night, by the Laila, there are a lot of Yilalos. Yilalos that we can't hear. So I want to talk about the Yilala of the night of this world, to enter into Tisha B'Av, to understand why Bechlal we're putting our kaychus into this avoid. Now, one of the chevra I was with a few weeks ago in the mountains, and he said to me something that I was thinking about a lot. He said something that was very true. He was telling me how he looks forward to Tisha B'Av every year. Naturally, I did the expected thing, and I gave him a funny look. Forward to Tisha B'Av, the way that it is. I also look forward to where Tisha B'Av will be. But are you looking forward to our present way of Tisha B'Av? And he said to me a true thing. He said that I look forward to it because it's the most honest day of the year. It's the most honest day of the year, the night, the day of Tisha B'Av. The rest of the year, we try to be distracted, we try to make believe that everything is okay. Hashem Yisboach gave us this time of Tisha B'Av, to be honest, to try it out, to talk it out, to say things that we normally wouldn't say. The kinas are filled with audacious outcries. The Rebbe, the Piasetzna, Hashem should avenge his blood. The Rebbe took his cue from the Kainanim, from the kinas, from Yirmi Hanavi and from the Bali Akinas through the generations. It's a day of honesty. It's a day when a Jew doesn't feel embarrassed or weak to say Ribbono Shel Olam, this hurts me. I'm really hurt by what's been happening in my life, and I'm really disappointed. Now, I know that I'm not a theologian, and I don't get this whole thing about, you know, Rab, Tzadikim, Mishorim. I don't know. But I know that after all of the years, you're going to tell me it's a machlokes between the Rab and the Raven, it doesn't make me feel better. And Tisha B'Av, we talk in such a way. So I wanted to begin with Rabbi Nachman's Chusi Galen. This Rabbi Nachman's honesty cut through everything. And I know that many of you, I'm hoping that most of you have read the stories of the Tzaddik, particularly the stories of the story of the beggars. So there's one part, one day, the fourth day. You know that these children grew up in the forest. Eventually they were married. Very strange chasna, how it took place, who the guests were at the wedding, where it took place, the pit in the ground. And each day of Sheder Brachos, a different beggar, but earlier helped the children, appears suddenly the gift. I was always intrigued by the fourth beggar. Of course, these correspond to the Yushpizen, and there are different explanations. A great deal has been written, much more has been taught. It's not in the Svarim. They completed the celebration of that day. So let's read a little bit. I'm going to read a little bit together with you, Mitzvah, when you have a chance to go over it at home to learn it properly. They completed the celebration of that day and went to sleep. The next morning, the couple began to yearn for the beggar with the crooked neck. The beggar with the crooked neck. Now, there are a number of code words that we have in Tanakh and Chazal, the Beis HaMikdash. The neck is unmistakably the Beis HaMikdash. Kemigdal David Savarech, Bamil Talpiyos. The Beis HaMikdash is that place in the world that connects heaven and earth. It's the neck that stretches from the highest place down into the lowest place. So the couple began to yearn for the beggar with a crooked neck. All at once he appeared and said, "Here I am." Originally I blessed you that you should be like me. Now, all of you remember that each of the beggars has a certain deformity. But of course, it's only because of the perfection of that tzaddik that in the world's eyes he seems to be deformed. Originally, I blessed you that you should be like me. Now I am giving you this as a wedding present. And I believe Benunu Shleima that on the night of Tisha B'Av that we're able to receive this as a gift. You think I have a crooked neck. Actually, my neck is not crooked at all. Quite the contrary. I'm reading Rabbi Kaplan's translation from the Yiddish. Quite the contrary. I have a very straight neck. I have a very beautiful neck. However, there are vapors, there are havalim in the world. The world is a place of havel havalim. The world is a place of darkness and of crookedness, of ugliness, of distortion. And there are many, many silly sounds that are made and words that are spoken in this world. So the beggar says, "There are havolim in the world, there are vapors. I do not want to exhale and add to the vain vapors of this world. It is for this reason that my neck appears to be crooked. I made my neck crooked to avoid exhaling to the vapors of the world. But actually, I have a very, very beautiful and wonderful neck since I have a wonderful voice. There are many sounds in the world that do not involve speech. I have such a wonderful neck and voice that I can imitate any of these sounds." So the beggar with a crooked neck says, "The truth is that my neck is completely beautiful and straight, but I don't make it crooked for this world. It appears to you as crooked. I have a voice that is wondrous, and I'm able to imitate any sound, any voice in the world. And regarding this, I have the haskam of the land of music. And here, Rabbi Nachman tells us of a magical place, as he does in most of the stories. The land of music. There's a land where everyone is expert in the science of music. Everyone there studies this discipline, even little children. There's no child who cannot play some kind of musical instrument. The least person in this land would be the greatest musician anyplace else. The wise men here as well as the king, and the musicians are extraordinarily skilled in this art. Once the leading sages of the land of music sat down, and each one boasted about his music. Every single word here, we don't have time, but every single word is mamish, sisrei, Torah, the deepest, deepest teachings of Kabbalah. So they're boasting about, each one's boasting about the sages of the land of music, boasting about his music. One boasted about his skill on one instrument, another boasted about his skill on another instrument, and so on, how well he played, the other one how he played, this one played several instruments, and one said he was able to play all musical instruments, and then another one boasted he could mimic, he could imitate a certain musical instrument with his voice, so another boasted he could mimic a different instrument, and so on. Another boasted that he could imitate the beating of a drum so well that it sounded exactly like a drum. Another boasted that with his voice he could mimic the sound of a shooting rifle, of a cannon. And the beggar says, I was also there. I spoke up and said to them, my voice is better than your voices. And this is proof. If you are so skilled in music, let us see if you can help the two lands. If you're so great in the art of music, then the beggar says, let's see if you can save these two lands. What are these two lands? There are two lands which are 1,000 miles apart. Now, why that number? There's a great deal of speculation. There's even one who says that that's the distance from Yerushalayim to Umma. There are two lands which are 1,000 miles apart. At night, people in these two lands cannot sleep. As soon as night falls, everyone, men, women, and children, begin to wail. Liyalel. They begin to wail. If a stone were placed there, it would melt out of pity for this great wailing. Now, why are they crying? In each of the lands, they hear a great sound of sobbing. In each of these lands, they hear some terrible crying coming from somewhere. They hear a great sound of sobbing, and because of this, all the men, women, and children wail. And this is true in both lands. The same sound of sobbing is heard in both lands, even though these two lands are 1,000 miles apart. So each land is hearing the sobbing from somewhere, like on the other side of each land. And because of this great wailing and sobbing, all of the people in these two lands at night, in the Laila, it's a bochay siv kevalayla, it's unbearable cry. So the beggar says, if you are so skilled in music, if you are the great sages of the land of music, if you are so skilled in music, I would like to see if you can help these two lands. If you can imitate their sound. Let's see if you can reproduce the exact sound of the wailing that is heard there. The wise men said to me, will you bring us there? We'll try. Will you bring us there? Yes, I will, the beggar replied. Yes, I will, I replied. So they all set out and eventually came to one of the two lands. At night, when everyone began to wail, the wise men also began to wail. It was quite obvious that they could do nothing to help these people. Michal, you know that's how it is in this world very, very often. I know myself that Hashem Yisbarach has placed me in a position in life that I can say in honesty that for a great part of the past 37 years or so, I've been listening to people wail. I'm listening to people cry. And I know that when I started those years, many years ago I began, I really, really believed with all of my heart that I'd be able to help people stop crying. And then at some point along the way, I don't remember exactly when, I realized that I myself was also crying. In the beginning, I wasn't honest enough. So I was going to be the one who was outside of the two lands of crying. And because I was outside, I was going to help. But you know and I know that when you enter into that world of crying with the most sincere intent, the most sincere desire to stop the crying, to help people stop crying, you know that it's very, very, very hard not get swept along. And that's exactly what happened. At night, when everyone began to wail, the wise men also began to wail. It was quite obvious that they could do nothing to help these people. They themselves became part of that misery. They themselves became broken. So then the beggar said to the sages of the land of music, to the wise men, "In any case," I said to the wise men, "tell me what is the source of the sobbing that is heard here? You're big chachamim. Not only are you chachamim, but you're the greatest experts. You describe yourselves as the greatest expert in sounds. So then tell me, what is the source of the sobbing, of the yalolas that are heard, all the crying that's going on in this place by balelos, by the nights? And you do know?" So they asked the beggar, in other words, "We don't know, and you do know?" So the tzaddik says, "I most certainly do. The one with the crooked neck. Maybe it's Aaron HaKohen, the Beis HaMikdash. I most certainly do," I said. Echever, you have to listen in a very, very real way. There are two birds. One male and one female. They are the only such pair of birds in the world. Now, Shir Hashim, the Baruch Shalom says, Yanasi Tamasi, he described himself as being with us twin bird. Tamasi, perfect one, Chazal say, Al Tikri Tamasi Elohab, Ta'aymasi, my twin. So the beggar, the tzaddik, says, there are two birds, one male and one female. You are the only such pair of birds in the world. The female was lost. Like it says in Pasuk in Mishlei, Kitsipur naidedes minkina, kein ish naided minkaima. Like a bird that has wandered from its nest, so is a man who wanders from his place. So the tzaddik, the beggar, says, the female was lost. That means me and you. It means Malchus, it means the Shechina, it means Knesset Yisrael. And the male went to look for her. Could you breathe? The male went to look for her. He searched for her, and she searched for him. Because you and I know that at some point we can't go on living this way. And each and every one of us, Davke, Al Mishkavi Balaylais, in an honest moment, we're able to admit that we can't live without our twin, without the other, without the Kaddish Baruch. They searched for one another for a very long time until they got completely lost. They both got completely lost. When they realized they could not find one another, they decided to remain where they were and build themselves nests. Seems that they gave up. And they stopped looking for each other. This, of course, is every matzav of Zoch and the Keva, every matzav of a husband or wife who stop looking for each other, parents who are no longer looking for the child's no longer looking for his parents. All separation comes from here. When they realized they could not find one another, they decided to remain where they were and build themselves nests. Seems like they gave up. So they settled in for the long haul. They built nests. Thinking of where Mashiach is, you know, there's a Heichel in Shemayim. It's called the Heichel, the place of Kansipa, the bird's nest. Where Mashiach is waiting. The male bird made himself a nest near one of the two lambs. He was not right next to the lamb, but he was close enough that the people of the land could hear his voice from the place where he built his nest. The female bird built her nest near the other lamb. She too was close enough that they could hear her voice. At night, both of these birds begin to wail in a very loud voice. And each one is on the other side of the land, of this land, and the other one's on the other side of the other land. At night, both of these birds begin to wail in a very loud voice. Each one wails is Milyalo. Bilel Zeh Yivkoyen Bona. Both of these birds begin to wail in a very loud voice. Each one wails for its mate. The Gemara says, at the beginning of Shas, and that Gimel and Brochus, that every night there's a bas kol, it's Menahemes Kiyoina. There's a bas kol, there's a sound. Tzadikim, there are tzadikim who hear this sound. This, of course, is the inyan of the Mishmaros of the night, as the Gemara discusses there. It's the inyan of Tikkun Chatzos. The Gemara there says that the baskel is Menahemes Kiyoina. It's wailing like a yoina. And there are tzaddikim who are able to hear the crying of Oili Sheikh Rafti is based. That the male bird, Kutchabrichu, is crying. Oili Sheikh Rafti is based. Mr. Rafti is a call. I've destroyed my house, the Beis HaMikdash, the neck. Mr. Rafti, and I've burned down my heichal. Ecclesias Bonai Leben Ha'umais, and I have sent my children into Golus among the nations. This is the meaning of the Bechia, the crying of the male bird, and the crying of the female bird is Rachel Mevak El Banea, Me'anil Hinochem. It is this sound of wailing that is heard in these two lands. When the people hear this wailing, they too all begin to wail. Now they don't know what this crying is. They might not even hear clearly what it is. There's just something wrong. When we were kids, we used to listen to a pair of Jewish musicians, and they had a sentence with the words, "I'm empty and aching and I don't know why." Their music was the music of Jews who were empty and aching, who didn't know why. And the crying of this world, particularly of Jews, will feel the emptiness and the ache of that emptiness and feel that there's something wrong. And hear some sort of cry. And here too, when I was younger, I imagined this was my mother's, that my sadness was because of my mother's cry. My father was stronger and he didn't allow himself to show me that he was crying. But my mother was crying all the time. And everybody imagines that he's crying because of somebody else's crime. So in the two lands at night, in each land they're able to hear in one place, somehow, the crying of the male bird, and in the other place, Kutchabich, and the other, Benahem is Kiyoina, and the other place, Rochem Avak Albaner. They're able to pick up the sound of the crying of the, of Knesset Yisrael, of the female bird. Therefore, they cannot sleep. Now, the tzaddik, the beggar with the crooked neck, tells this to the sages of the land of music. Because the tzaddik, what Rabbi Nachman is saying, because the tzaddik knows the shayrish of all the sadness in the world. The tzaddik knows that it's not my mother's cry. The tzaddik knows that it's not the situation in Gaza. The tzaddik knows that that's not where the crying is coming from. Yes, there's crying. Everywhere in the world there's crying. But that's not the shayrish of crying. The tzaddik alone understands that the yelolos of the lelos, the wailing of the nights, of this long night of galus, comes from the pirud, from the separation of the two birds, of Kutchabrichu Shchinte, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people, of Hashem and myself, and yourself. Many have written, not only in our writings, but Lahadul in secular writings as well, that the deepest, deepest pain in the world is the pain of separation. There are those who try to explain many problems that we have just in the separation that took place before we even were born, the separation of when we were born from the womb of our mothers. And when my mother does share a word over the years when we were younger, she hardly spoke about it, only when she would share a word of her pain, it was always about, she would always begin to talk about when she, the last time that she saw her mother. The last time that she saw her father by the
by the train when they were taken off the train. It always comes back to that moment of separation. And that's why this world, the Alma d'Chshucha, the place of darkness, this world is also called Alma d'Pirud, a world of separation, of Pirud. So the tzaddik knows. There are many, many explanations for each person's crime. And you can talk to a friend, you can talk to a therapist, you can talk to a wise man, a wise woman, and they can explain to you, well, this went wrong in your life. Or this is your problem, this is why you're crying. But only the tzaddik knows that the crying comes from the two birds. The wise men did not want to believe me. They studied psychology, not only music. They consider themselves to be experts in the malchus of sadness, to understand sadness. And they knew all sounds. So the wise men did not want to believe me. Will you bring us there? They asked. So they asked the beggar, could you bring us to this place? Meaning where the birds are. Yes, I replied, I can bring you there, but you will not be able to come there. If you will come close, you will not be able to tolerate the sound of the wailing. Even here you cannot stand it. In the two lands, you can't stand it even here. And you are forced to wail along with the others. If you were there, if you'd be where the birds are, you'd not be able to stand it at all. And you know, so many of us spend our lives running away from that place where the birds are. We're afraid. We're afraid to get to that nekuda, to that deepest nekuda in ourselves, to get to the sherish of why is it that we feel empty. We're afraid to get to that place because we're afraid that if we get to that place, we're not going to be able to get out. We're not going to survive. And then he goes on to say, even by day, you wouldn't even be able to manage by day, because by day the birds are distracted because other birds come and distract them with all kinds of games and songs. During the day we get distracted. One can spend 120 years distracted. And imagine, Kilu, there is no separation at all. However, the sound of the pairs wailing at night can be heard at a very great distance. Because of all of this, it is impossible to approach their place. And now we come to the end in Yanaina. So the sages of the land of music asked the beggar with the crooked neck, can you rectify this? Can you repair this? Can you reunite the male bird and the female bird? Lukuta Maran Kuf Peches. Ibn Achman Tor, Da. Shitzarachlin Sola Hatzad. You must know, when he said the word Da, he was taking the Torah from the highest place. Da Shitzarachlin Sola Hatzadik. You should know. Every Jew must know. But you must travel, you must journey to the Tzadik. Lach Shavik Alavidosa. Because only the Tzadik can return to your life what's missing. Only the tzaddik can bring to that reunion. Only the tzaddik can take you And what's missing most, what you've lost in your life, is that connection to the male bird, meaning that connection to Kutcher Brich. Dashit Sarklun Soylat Sadik Lakshar Levidos. Get Sadik Choyzer Alevidos Ad Shemoit. Because that Sadik doesn't stop looking until he finds what's missing, until he gets to the Shem. So therefore, he answers when they ask him, can you repair this? Can you stop the crying of the world? Do you have the ability to bring joy to the world, to bring the world back to the way it was before Adam and Chava ate from the tree? Do you have the ability to bring back the Beis HaMikdash? Do you have the ability to straighten out all this crooked, to connect heaven and earth? I replied, the beggar answers, I can rectify this. Since I can imitate any sound in the world. But that's not enough. Because they're also great in the art of imitating sounds. And with my voice, I can reproduce any sound exactly. But here's the key. And I'm sure all of you have read this and you know. Besides this, I can also throw my voice. So that no sound is heard here, but the sound is heard at a distance. I can therefore throw the voice of the female bird and make it reach the place of the male bird, and also throw the voice of the male bird and make it reach the place of the female bird. And by doing this, I will be able to bring them together. And through this, everything will be repaired. And the end of the story is too much, mamish, too much. It's just not if you want, it's not for now. Now, why is the tzaddik able to do this? And what does it mean that he's able to throw the sound? Obviously, Rabbi Nachman is saying, teaching every one of us, Amech Kulam Tzaddikim. Of course you have to seek out the tzaddik in the world, but you also have to seek out the tzaddik in yourself. We've already learned until this point. Why is it that we say kings? And the meaning of the crying of the night of Bilel Zeh Yivkayun V'yelilu Bona, and this honest night and day of crying. And where the crying comes from. But the end of the story, the question that the wise men ask the beggar is, and is the ultimate gift, is not just to be able to imitate, not just to be able to somehow understand where it comes from, but to throw the voice of one to the other, of one bird to the other, so they could hear each other and be reunited. Now this nekuda is unbelievably heartbreaking. See, the tzaddik, what Rabbi Nachman is saying, is that the inyan of the tzaddik is that the tzaddik feels within himself all of the pain of the world. The tzaddik doesn't run from that place. Rabbi Nachman once said that when he was young, listen to the words. Hayinid malay tamid shein mestaklin alav kla. Rabbi Nachman described how he was when he was young. And he said, Nid malay tamid shein mestaklin alav kla. It seemed to him that from Shemayim they were not paying any attention to him at all. No matter how much he was davening, no matter how much he was learning, no matter how much he was oisik and fasting and tormenting himself, which he did. He says, He felt as if they're not hearing him at all. That's the source of all the pain. The feeling that he doesn't care. The feeling that the male bird has given up, has gone away, has built its nest somewhere, doesn't care. But really, the male bird is crying all the time. Rabbi Nachman said when he was young, he felt that not only were they not hearing him, and not only were they not being makarim from Shammai, but they were machikim oisai, b'chol minei esrachakus, that he was being pushed away. That God didn't want him. Do I have to ask you to raise your hands? I could begin. And maybe it would make it easier. How many of us, how many times in life, we feel that our davening, our learning, our tshuva, our mitzvahs are not wanted? Machikim oisonu, ein shoymin, machikim, mikol minei esrachakus. But here's where the tzaddik is different from me and you. But remember, Anu Kulam Tzadik is the Avayd of Tisha B'Av. But Afal Pichein, Hayim Chazik Atzmai Ma'oid, V'lai Hiniach Es Mekayma. Afal Pichein, Hayim Chazik Atzmai Ma'oid, V'lai Hiniach Es Mekayma. The Tzadik does not give in. That voice inside that says that God is far from you. That voice that says that God hates you and is punishing you for your sins. That voice inside you that tells you that God is finished with you. That the Baalim doesn't want to look at you because of what you've done. And that they're machikin or yischob kol min yisrachakus. The tzaddik, af apichin or yimachazik atzma ma'oid v'lehiniach es mekayma. V'lehiniach es mekayma. Erev Shabbos, I know I always talk about this today, it's important to hear. Erev Shabbos, I got a text from one of the Chevra who sent me that it's now 80 days, 80th day that he's clean. Clean from very, very, very dark in Yom. 80 days that he's clean. The other day I sent him back the words, Yesu HaKan Feruah, Gibor, Givaldi, every day I try a different way. 80 days. And this person feels that through the years of his struggle, they were machikim kol minei yisrachakus, every type of yisrachakus. You can't imagine. Kilu, the Bereshim doesn't care, doesn't want his davening, his learning, his mitzvahs. What's the tachlis of going to the mitzvah? What's the point of being matar myself in the next days? How many parents have given up? Because they feel that I have been spending so many years distancing this child, and because of that I can never ever grow close to this child. I've pushed him away or her away to such a degree that I've lost him. He's gone, she's gone. I'll never get him back, I'll never get her back. And at the same time that he's saying that, the kid is crying for him in a distant land. Crying for him. And each one makes his nest and thinks it's a father. But the tzaddik is ein meniach es mekayim. The tzaddik knows to trace all of the tears of the night, all of the yalolos of the laylos, back to the place where they come from, which is Churban Beis HaMikdash. Which is that period between the two birds, the two kruvim, Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shechina Knesset Yisrael. And the tzaddik spends his entire life throwing his voice. Throwing the voice, meaning throwing the voices to be able to make those two get back together, the parents and the children. Like Aaron HaKohen, who this is about. That you think that your husband doesn't miss you. You think that he's setting up a nest someplace else. He's crying for your mamish every minute. Really? And the tzaddik does the same thing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and with the Jew. That's the avodah of the tzaddik. To throw voices. And Tisha B'av, Chevra, this is the Inyan of Kinyan. You notice I'm not apologizing for speaking long. It's Motzei Shabbos, most of you stay up till 2, 3 o'clock. I'm no Rachmanis at all. I have nothing to do. All we should be talking and thinking about is this. The avoid of Tisha B'av is to come to hear that sound being thrown from the tzaddikim, so that you and I are able to hear the sound of the male bird and to understand that the reason that I am so broken in my life and the reason that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, the reason that I give in and I fall apart and I run around and I leave my place and I'm not able to be mischazik. It's because of the crying of the bird. It's because Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is crying over each one of us, over the broken world that He created, and He gave to us to repair. And to be able to hear that sound, and all of the kinyanim, and all of the psukim of Eich, to be able to hear that sound. And now we go ahead many, many years, finished in 5 minutes. So the tzaddik, after whom this shul is named, this Beis Medrash is named, the tzaddik of Kolonimus Kalnish, by the Rebbe Elimelech, Susi Ganelino, Hashem Kandomai. And you know that as things were winding down, and the end was near, he referred a few times in his Torah, Neish Kodesh, to the Gemara in Chagiga in the first parak, that Hashem Yisburach has a place that's called Mistarim. Says in Yirmiyah, the Mistarim Tivke Nafshi, Hashem has a hidden place, and Hashem says that my soul is weeping in that hidden place. Now we're connecting the two tzaddik. My soul is weeping, Hashem says, in the hidden place. And of course the Gemara asks, how could that be? Ois v'chevah b'mkoymai. Hashem, there's constant joy, there's only happiness and joy. So you know the Gemara's answer, about the boy, about the gevoy. There's the Rashi, there's the Rabbi Hananel. One verse refers to the inner chambers, about the Gavoy, while the other refers to the outer chamber. And as the Mekubalim learn, Hashem in His inner chamber is weeping. In this world, like during the day with the birds when they're busy. So we see in this world, Ois v'chevra, you could see, you become distracted, things are good. But b'mistarim Hashem's tivke nafshi, Hashem's soul is weak, as it were, over the pain of the Jews. So listen to the Rebbe's words. Because the Rebbe is explaining how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have such nevias. If Moshe Rabbeinu had never stopped crying over the pain of the Jewish people, what they were going through, how is it possible to have nevias? How could he have prophecy? Because you can't have nevuah if you're broken, if you're miserable. That's what the Rebbe is talking about here. And he was talking to the Jews, the few who were remaining in the ghetto. And how is it possible for us to continue on being Jews, to daven, to learn, to keep mitzvahs? When we're so completely broken. So the Rebbe explained. So it is possible that at the time of Hester Bonham, which is to say when God hides Himself within the inner chambers, a Jew may also enter and be alone with God there. Each Jew at his own level. As part of this. There within the inner chambers, Torah and Avodah is revealed to each person who enters. We have already spoken about how the Torah Shema Peh was revealed primarily in exile, in Babel, and how the Zohar Kodesh was only revealed to Rabbi Shimon and his son Rabbi Elazar when they were living in a cave, fleeing the Roman government, afraid for their lives. There are times when a person wonders about himself, thinking, I am broken, I'm ready to burst into tears at any moment, and in fact I break down in tears from time to time. How can I possibly learn Torah? What can I do to find the strength, not just to learn Torah, but to discover a new Torah and Chassidus? When the person says to himself, I am so broken, I have tried so much, my whole life is fraught with grief and dejection. He is lost inside his introspective self-analytical confusion. But as we have said, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is crying within the inner chambers. And whoever presses himself close to God through Torah is able to weep there together with God and also to learn Torah with Him. So the Rebbe is saying, go to that place within yourself. Go to the deepest Torah in yourself. Go to the deepest davening in yourself, because that's the inner chamber of Hashem. And when you get to that place, you'll find the bird weeping. And he's crying for you. This is the difference. The pain and grief he suffers over his own situation alone in isolation can break a person. He may even fall so far that he becomes immobilized by it. But the crying that a person does together with God makes him strong. He cries and takes strength. He is shattered, and then he is emboldened to study and to worship. If he is bold, if he stretches out with his head, with his crooked neck, to touch the Torah and Tefillah, he gains access to those innermost chambers where God is. And there he laments and is miyalel with God. He wails with God, as it were, alone with Him. And even in the midst of his pain, he can learn Torah and daven Hashem's blessed devotions in that place. So many times over the years I told you this story. But once by Shalosh Hudos, it was already very dark, it was already late, and the Holy Radishes told the Gabbai to go to the Chassidim. They were in the room where they had the Shalosh Hudos, the big room, and he sent the Gabbai to go bring his nephew, and the nephew, himself a big tzaddik, went into the Radishes in the next room. And of course all the Chassidim ran to the wall, and they put their ears to the wall to try to hear what was happening in the next room. And they heard suddenly great laughter and tremendous, tremendous singing and laughter. And the Chassidim began to laugh. They didn't know why the Rebbe and his nephew were laughing, but they were so happy that the Rebbe was happy, they also laughed. And this went on for a few minutes, and then suddenly it was quiet. And in a moment, they heard terrible wailing, yelolos, terrible crying from the next room. The Rebbe and his nephew were wailing with crying. After everybody benched and everything was finished, later at night, the chassidim went and they asked the nephew, what happened with your uncle, with the Rebbe? And he said, you might not believe me, but I'm going to tell you what happened. The Rebbe, my uncle, took me to the window. And we looked outside. He told me to look outside the window. I don't know how it was, but it was pitch dark. But then suddenly there was light, and I was able to see all the way to Yerushalayim, and I saw the way Yerushalayim is going to look when Mashiach comes. And I saw the Zakenim, Zakenis, the old people, young people, Ish Mishanto Biyodo, laughing and dancing in the streets of Yerushalayim. And that's when you heard us laughing and singing. My uncle showed me Yerushalayim when Mashiach comes. And then the Chassidim said, but then it was silent. And then we heard terrible crying. So the nephew said, because then the Rebbe put his hand over my eyes, and then when he took his hand off my eyes, he said to look out the window, and I saw terrible darkness. And I was able to see what we're going to have to go through, what the Jewish people are going to have to go through until we get to that day. And that's Chevra, that's the night that we're in. Each one of us and our people. Hashem Yisbarach should help each and every one of us and all of our families and all of Am Yisrael, that the night should finally end. That even these last few moments of the night, You should be able to look out the Rav Shitz's window and see something of Yerushalayim when it's going to be rebuilt. To see something of that time when things will be good. And lo lahaniach es mikomeinu chevra. Not to let go, not to let go. It's the last few minutes of the night. It's the last Tisha B'Av. Not to let go. The night is end. It's most painful, as you know, as it gets close right away before the morning. Not to let go. Lo lahaniach es mikomeinu, to be strong. And Hashem is Baruch will help us. It will be zarchim yet Hashem to see Nechomis, seeing Yerushalayim. It will be zarchim to see the Kruvim by the Beis HaMikdash. It will be zarchim to see Aaron HaKohen, all the Yushpizim. It will be zarchim to hear the songs of the Levim. It will be zarchim to hear the song of David Malka Mashiach. Mashiach Chodeh Gula Hashem HaMikdash. M'hevi Amin HaMein.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.